As well, here is starting. Okay, can. All recording, ah. Your both side also recording, right? Okay. 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 Hello and welcome to Social Media Weekly, episode 9th March 2022. Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Palace Marketing. Get your very own corporate website built from as low as $100 with Virtual Palace Marketing today. Terms and conditions apply. The platform is super easy to maintain and comes with a state-of-the-art security. My name is Sean. Yes, welcome back. I know. Hopefully you'll be able to be here every week, moving, like, you know, from now on. Because our listeners miss you, lah. They got PM me. They say, where's Jay? Bro, where's Jay? Jay's missing. Wow. Feels like withdrawal, huh? Okay, let's get on to the news. This week's news: TikTok prevents new posts and live streams in Russia. TikTok has decided to prevent any users from publishing their posts and going live on its platform, citing laws that criminalizes and spreads the fake news concerning the government's assault on Ukraine. This law was recently passed by the Russian government, which prevents any attempt to discredit the government. And TikTok was forced to comply. Lawbreakers could face a prison sentence of up to 15 years or 1.5 million ruble, which is equivalent to $14,000 fine. Wow. Okay. In their context is fake news, as in like Russia is bombing Ukraine. And when people in TikTok post Russia bombing Ukraine, in terms of from the Russia's perspective, that's fake news. So, yeah. So nowadays in war, everybody's trying to control the media, right? Because the media directs all this whole thing. Oh, I thought that's already been said. And the earth is flat, remember? Yeah, because as far as I can see, there is nothing round, right? It's all flat. So it has got to be flat. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah. So TikTok is not the only company that is facing this problem. All social media companies are also facing this problem. And I guess, yeah, Russia is like totally becoming this little isolated state now. Nobody wants to trade with Russia. Nobody wants to buy from Russia, sell to Russia. Nobody wants to have anything to do with Russia. Netflix is not even showing in Russia right now. So those guys must be bored as hell right now while their president is bombing people. It's very strategic, lah. It's actually very strategic. And you can actually go to YouTube and you watch some of the videos. I mean, don't just watch the Western media, videos from the Western media. Have a mix of it from all angles, so you get a bit more of an unbiased look at why is this happening and what caused this to happen. And, you know, and somewhere along the line, you will find that, okay, you know, US is instigating this whole thing. NATO is instigating this whole thing, you know, pushing them to a corner. A lot of these things, lah. Then it's strategic as well, right? Because Ukraine has a lot of oil reserves and they want oil reserves. So yeah, there's a lot of this thing as well, lah. So greed, vision, greed, ambition. Let's move on to the next one because this is not a talk about politics. This is Social Media Weekly. Okay. I had a chance to see this, right? Because if you look at Facebook's layout now, the one that we're using, the one that they've had for a long time, same thing. The newsfeed is in the middle, the controls on the left, and on the right, you get some ads, and then you also get your friends list. The new one, technically, it looks very much the same, but the problem is, when you go into it, you immediately feel very confused. Like, you have no idea what is supposed to be where. And everything is just lost everywhere. And everything is fighting for attention. And it feels like, you know, Facebook has 100,000,000 little services, right? And now they want to put everything together in one screen. Instead of like, you know, being hidden, you toggle this, you show that, you toggle that, you show this. But no, not everything is supposed to be in just one place. So that is confusing the hell out of people. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. So, but then again, from the other perspective is, remember when Facebook first introduced this layout that we're using? We got a bit confused as well. We got thrown out as well. We're like, oh shit, what is this? Why are all these things all curvy and everything? So I guess it's just us getting too used to the layout, and I guess it takes some time to change it. Maybe that's just that. I don't like it. It's very messy. Yeah. That was a good layout. It's very clean. It's very proper. You know, fonts are smaller because we're using on desktop anyway, right? So we're not using our thumbs to actually do the scrolling. So it's fine. But then it became a bit more bubble, big buttons and everything. And then now it's just, I don't know, it's just very confusing. Maybe they will explain to us the purpose of this layout later on when they officially launch. Then we probably understand, oh, that's why you're doing this. But no, not at this point. Okay, moving on to the next one. Twitter may be building support for podcast. App researcher Alessandro Paluzzi spotted a podcast tab on the left side of Twitter's app, quite possibly meaning the app is planning a podcast discovery section. So everybody's getting into podcast now. All right, so just as a context, right? Last year, Twitter bought a podcast feeder app called Breaker. It is used to support its Clubhouse competitor, which is called Spaces. So now you have Twitter's getting an audio with Audio Spaces, but that's live audio. But then they have Breaker, which is a podcasting. There is a possibility that Twitter is trying to connect these two things together. They are trying to enable audio to podcast conversion, which will allow Spaces users to save their audio sessions as podcasts. Why not, right? Why not? Let's try it. Yeah. So we can do this. We can do this podcast live, and then we can live in Spaces, and then we can save it as a podcast. Yeah, exactly. So it's a pretty good thing. It does seem like a better option right now. Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, because we've been moving from Anchor to Breaker, and we don't know where the distribution network would be, because most of the people who consume our podcast, they do it from Apple Podcast, and they also, some of them do it for Spotify, and a lot of them actually watch our YouTube, so YouTube will still have to be there. So let's say, for example, if Breaker does not, I'm pretty sure Breaker would disseminate it over to Apple Podcast as well. So I guess it should be fine. We can still find it. But it could be a different, let's say, it could be a different tagging. So if it's a different tagging, those people who have subscribed to our channel on from the Anchor tag will probably not need to resubscribe again. So we need to do some heavy marketing to tell people, hey, we are moving to Breaker and this might change, you know, resubscribe again, things like that. Probably. Yep. Yep, gamified layer. Right, right. Okay, when I first read this, I was thinking, okay, you know what? Another to-do list, boring, nothing special, right? But then when I read that they have this bunch of cute little alpacas that they give as stickers to reward people for finishing their task, all of a sudden I'm thinking, hey, you know what? Now it feels like if people get famous, if this alpaca gets famous, like, you know, Clippy? You know who's Clippy? Long, long time ago, in the very first few stages, first few versions of Microsoft Office, whenever you turn on Microsoft Office, there is always this paperclip that will come out and ask you if you need help. Yes. Yes. Yes, that guy's name is Clippy. So, Clippy became a very famous meme for a function that nobody needs. Because you ask Clippy for help and Clippy cannot help you, but Clippy will still be there anyway. So, and then the guy will like stand next to you and just hover around as you do your work. So people start connecting with Clippy as if like, you know, he's a friend. So that is an IP. Now imagine if Facebook's alpaca becomes an IP and all of a sudden they say, okay, you know what? These guys are famous. Let's create a bunch of NFTs to sell them. Yeah. Yeah. Just like, you can do this. Yep. Snapchat turns off heat map in Ukraine. In order to protect Ukrainian users, Snapchat has turned off public heat maps across the country. So heat map on Snapchat is actually, there is this function when you go to the map, right? You get to see spots where everybody, all the users are. So it actually shows anybody who's a user how many people, how many Snapchat users are concentrated in these areas. So for the fear of the safety of the Ukrainians, Snapchat has turned off this thing. So, you know, any hostile people cannot actually go in and check it out or use it to search for Ukrainians. On top of that, the heat map has also been turned off. Oh, sorry, the ads have been turned off for Belarus, Ukraine, Russia, and also Snapchat has stopped selling ads to Russian entities altogether. Yeah, it's... Nothing, nothing, nothing. We'll see how lah. Bye then. Then he'd be like, Then he'd be like, Jay, you make a very valid point. You know, I think, okay, I'm just going to withdraw my troops tomorrow. Then you'll be the savior, which is good. Then, you know. It's a privacy issue all around, but it comes down to the fact that whether you see privacy issue as an issue or not. To be honest, people who care so much about privacy issue are the old people. The young people have accepted the fact that they don't have privacy in life. That's just that. It's us people who have lived in the pre-internet world, who have seen the world before our privacy is, you know, taken away from us, who are trying to fight for it back again. And people who use Snapchat are young people and they can't be bothered. They say, oh, have a look at me. I don't care. You see my heat map. You see where I am. What you going to do? Right? And most of them are their friends anyway. But for the sake of war and everything, yes, then it becomes a totally different thing altogether. Snapchat does not want to be the platform which the hostiles use to track down Ukrainians. It's not so much of protecting the people, but it's also protecting the company itself. So, to me, these are the issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you see, all these apps are free, right? So if anything is free, we are paying with our data. So if you want your privacy to be protected, pay for stuff lah. Imagine if you got like 5 social media accounts, each of them charge you $399 a month. How much are you going to pay just to stay online? If you really like Social Media Weekly, it could really help if you can rate and review it on a podcast feed of your choice and on YouTube so more can discover it. Social Media Weekly is on the lookout for regular co-hosts to help us bring some depth to the show if you're interested. Simply drop me an email at Sean, that is S-H-A-W-N, at virtualpeddlers.com. This is Social Media Weekly, episode 9th March 2022. My name is Sean. You know they can Google your name, right? Yeah, exactly. All right, so anyway, so see you guys next week. Toodles. Wow, connection is a bit